Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast. And we are finishing up, I think this might even be our last episode on our newest series that was on our sons and daughters, how to best support our future generation. And we are inviting back a good friend of ours, Daryl Williams, who is also a Mohawk elder. And we've had Daryl on this show over the past several years, periodically at different series that we run. We often like to get Daryl's input. Daryl's a wealth of wisdom and knowledge, and I love hearing his perspective on just about any topic we have. So Daryl, welcome back to the show, and thank you for finishing off this series with us.
Thank you. It's always my pleasure to speak with you, Stu. You're wonderful people.
You are wonderful, Daryl. We've actually been doing less podcast episodes because we feel like we're called to actually start implementing now, to like put it into action. So we've done the talking, we've had the discussions, and but I feel like now is a really important time to actually do the work, like actually get out of the theory of things and actually implement all these ideas that are coming to us and through us, and make it actionable within our world. And as we have personally set up, as you probably know, our two younger girls are homeschooled. They've never been in the school system. They're 8 and 9 now. And we've started, you know, for lack of a better word, a school. It's an outdoor nature learning hub that we've created. And the model is a really simple one. And we share this with other folks, parents, families within our community as well, because we're focusing on children between the ages of 6 to 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And we've had some older kids come to us as well. And we've said, you know, they're, as soon as they get into the 10, 11, 12, they're just in a different mindset. They're exposed to a little bit more. And it, we want to really kind of focus in and maintain a sense that the innocence and the purity that the little ones currently have. So that was important to us, to kind of create those boundaries and that protection and work with the younger group of our children. And I've said to the parents, but the formula is simple. Just look at the needs of your child or your children. Mm-hmm. And then see what teacher, mentor, facilitator, if it's not you, some people don't have the patience for it or have other things on the go, but see if there's anyone else that you can come across. And as soon as you're open to this sort of yearning, you'd be surprised at all the synchronicities that kind of line up for that person to come into your life. But see who is out there that could meet that need for your children. Mm-hmm. And then if their fee is too high for your 1, 2, or 3 children of your own, then see how many others within the community you can gather of like mind, like heart, so that you can satisfy the compensation in having the teacher come in order to create your own hub. And it's a pretty simple formula. And that's kind of how we based our setup. We call it Sacred Rhythm for our children. And we have about 8 or 9 kids right now coming, and we will likely this year probably add another day. So we'll go from 2 days to 3 days a week. And that works for us. 3 days a week, I think, is ample time for kids to be in a learning environment outside of family. And besides that, we love being with them, and we want them to be very much a part of our routine, because there's lots of learning that happens in the everyday. I think people really forget that and discount that, and that life is our best teacher. So then I thought of you. I thought, well, I feel like I want to bring in the elements of ceremony and true sacredness, and not just leave it for, you know, we just had our Canadian Thanksgiving, the American Thanksgiving is coming up. And to be honest, Daryl, I feel like those days of holidays have less and less impact on our day and less importance, because Thanksgiving shouldn't be once a year. It should be a daily reverence and love and appreciation for Mother Nature, for all her abundance and her generosity. And I feel like whenever I've spoken to you, I can feel that from you, from your whole beingness. And I wanted to connect with you to ask, like, what do you deem to be important? And as far as what is important for us to share with our children on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, coming, looking at what you are doing here, that is the best thing that can be done at this time, is serving humanity and the children, right? Because they are our future generations. In our culture, it's all cultural teachings, of course, from native, my native ancestry. But we always look ahead 7 generations into the future. I believe we talked about this before. This is, it's not just a prophecy, but it's a way of life, like you're talking about, to live in accordance with creation, because these times we're in are, you know, everybody can look at what's going on the planet and the world, right? There's a big change going on. So it's beautiful at the same time as it's chaotic, right? But that's okay, because once we get through and we know what's on the other side of everything, it's what we do now that makes this change a more beautiful place in the earth too. And the children are the foundation, right? So the women are carrying a lot for the children. They're carrying a whole load for Mother Earth. That's why, you know, we refer to it as Mother Earth. It's a female energy here. So the children, when you look at culture, if you teach the children whatever you're teaching them, nature will be their culture. This is the best thing for them. It doesn't matter what your nationality or your race is. You know, you can look at when, just from experience with my, I lost count of my nieces and nephews. There was like 56 of them. Now they have all children, so there's over 100. So when they were young, my nieces and nephews, they would come to me and they used to ask me, "Uncle, are we gonna burn tobacco? They want to do ceremony." And they're like 6, 7, 8 years old, what you're teaching right now. Because I used to get them involved in the ceremony. They love, especially if you start working simple, like with smudging. Sage, cedar, sweet grass, and you get them involved in it, and you show them how to smudge each other, you see? And then you can incorporate song with that. So you're singing to Mother Earth, the Great Spirit, whatever comes from your heart and you want to teach them. And the kids are so creative, they will get creative with this kind of energy because they love this kind of stuff. It's innate within us, right? It's innate within the DNA, the spirit. It's from history, right? So it's our ancestry. So we're just go from lifetime to lifetime, living the same life, but it's a continuity of ongoing understanding and connection with nature. So that we never forget. We never forget what nature is, because we live this constant reincarnation, but it's like one life for our spirit. So we look at it and we say, okay, what can I learn? That's why I say, let nature be your culture, right? It's unlimited. There's so much to learn. So, you know, you're teaching the children, you could teach them about, of course, you're probably already doing this, about the herbs, right? The teas, the plants, how to prepare it, right? How to make certain foods that you grow, because you are doing this right now with your own children. So by learning from that structure of nature and Mother Earth creation with all the elements, I mean, you cannot go wrong that way. I mean, there's so much involved, but when we look at life, and I say, teach them the cycle of life. Now, this isn't spoken of often, you know, the cycle of life, and like I'm talking about past lives and you know, birth and death. Of course, we speak to children in subtle ways where they get, we speak to them how they will understand it, right? When I was young, I was a teenager. My brother, he was in his mid-20s. He passed away in a car accident. He had a daughter. She was 4 years old, my niece. So I was a teenager. And so all the family was gathered, and they were, she knew something was going on, but they didn't tell her. Her father passed away. So she came outside to me. I was in the backyard, and she says, "Where's my daddy?" So I had to tell her what happened, that he's gone back to spirit. And her eyes welled up, and then she went inside, and then her mother told her. So, and all my sisters, the aunties, right? So we communicate this at an early age to children, so when they grow older, they don't fear that cycle of birth and death. Because as children, they're going to see this constantly in life from an early age to teenagers, young adolescents to their adulthood. And they'll experience it, whether or not close family right away, but they'll see it on TV with their own friends' families. So they need to understand this so they don't fear it. So when they're older, they know the cycle of life is, it's a natural rhythm that we flow with. And here everybody gets lost in the fear, right? So that is one of the main fears that hold people back. So we don't want our children in fear. So if we communicate to them in a proper way where they can go beyond fear and just understand the love and coming from their heart, and they'll know, they'll understand it, and they'll work through life in a better way. It'll be a lot more reassuring for them when they get young, when young adults, teenagers, because that's another tough time for the children, right? When they get into the teenage years, because there's so much pulling them all different avenues in life. So getting back into in our native culture, of course, the children, they're 4 or 5 years old, 6 years old, they're in different medicine societies, right? Some belong to the eagle medicine, bear medicine, the grandfather medicine. They have their own mask. And they're in these societies at a young age. And, if they go to school with non-native children, non-native don't understand what the native children are already doing on a spiritual level, right? But this is not just for their personal well-being, it's for Mother Earth. So we're always looking at creation and Mother Earth, Great Spirit. That's what it's all about. So when we look at that cycle of life, how do we connect with nature? It's true gratitude. So we do ceremony. So when we do ceremony, we use fire. We have our sacred tobacco. We burn the tobacco, and it was given to us from creation when Sky Woman came here. So when creation started, when human beings were created, that's when the tobacco was given to us. So, and it has to be cultivated and planted. So it's been passed down generation to generation from creation. So when we offer that in ceremony, they say our words go through the sun, and then it gets right to source, right? But it's all an address of thanksgiving. So we start with Mother Earth. We love you, Mother Earth. Thank you for what you give us. The plants, the medicines, the food that nourish our life. The three sisters, we refer to the corn, beans, squash that nourish us. The waters, the air, the trees, everything, the plants, the animals. So we work our way up into Sky World, the birds, Grandma Moon, Grandfather Sun, our elder brother son, whatever you refer to it as. And then, our ancestors in the higher realms, in the spirit, the world of spirits. So we give thanks to everything. So it's a thanksgiving. So, people are always praying for something. You just offer gratitude. And so that's a way of life. It's just giving thanks. And if you're grateful, everything you need will come to you.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle Magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You don't really have to ask for anything. It'll come. But you always gotta have that connection and make the connection. You see, it's a wonderful thing to do this with children. I've been in the, you know, we have our longhouse. It's a ceremonial longhouse. So I was involved in two of them in the past. I do my own ceremony at home. We just got through a big ceremony a week and a half ago, doing the grandfathers and the dragons, right? So we do this a couple of times a year for them. So, but the children, when they're involved in ceremony, that connects them directly to creation. So it gets into their heart and their spirit becomes more refined and they open up more and they love this. You see how their face, but you have to involve them in it, right? Just simple things like I said, with smudging, involve them, let them do it, teach them how to do it. You're going to see how they're going to change and how it's going to open them up. And you see it in their eyes. They're like, oh, they love this kind of stuff. It's because that's their spirit that's going to communicate to you in that way.
Daryl, when you were talking about gratitude being the way that we connect with nature,
yeah,
we were just looking at this just the other day, because a lot of times what happens is, I feel like it, particularly in sort of more like North American circles, we create these times to get together to be like, okay, what are we thankful for? What are we feeling gratitude for? And I think there's a place for that to, because we're often so disconnected from it, like from an authentic feeling of it, that we kind of try to create a space to like, okay, stop, and now let's actually try to
have one day, yeah,
have it. Well, whether that's Thanksgiving or even like, I'm thinking even like when we do like gratitude circles and stuff, and they stop and the kids have to try to think about what they're thankful for. But this is what we noticed, because a lot of times when we try to create a specific event for it, it's a little bit mental. It's still like, I can even see the kids kind of thinking a little bit. And when they're in a group, it's kind of like, what am I thinking about? What am I thankful for? Am I saying the right thing? Like, there gets to be a few different things tied into that.
We've noticed this through just to preface it, like one of the groups, the Sacred Rhythm gatherings that we have for the kids, the teacher typically ends the day with a circle of gratitude. And we've noticed that the kids kind of look to see what the other person has said to kind of, and then it oftentimes becomes very similar, the same theme. So then this is, go on, and then I'll let you
continue. So it's sort of like when it's set up in a certain way, I feel like it gets a little more up in the head and not so much in the heart. And then we're just watching the kids. And particularly I was watching like my little one, who's 8, who naturally just loves flowers and plants and they love animals. And it's like, you just watch them and it's like, she's off there, like just.
She actually creates an altar wherever we go. Typically, if we're going through a walk through the forest or we go by the river or by the ocean, she actually goes into her own zone and starts to gather rocks and
flowers and leaves, and she creates her own little thing. And it's like there's no talk about it. We're not trying to get her to think about what she should be thankful for. It's like it's so just authentically inherent in her just being in nature. And I'll see the same thing with Sophie, particularly around animals. Like you just see her light up with so much appreciation and love for these different creatures. And there's just no thought about it. So it's almost like we try to make these situations like, okay, now let's think about what we're thankful for, because we're often so disconnected from it. But if you just, when you were talking about gratitude is how we connect with nature, but it's such a natural reaction. If you're just in nature long enough, gratitude immerses, it emerges organically through the experience of just being in nature. And we see that with the kids over and over and over again.
And there's a quietness, I feel like, that is necessary too, to actually allow that innate joy and deep appreciation for nature to come through, which I feel like is oftentimes lacking within the busyness of Western societies in particular, from, you know, go, go, go culture that we've created. But when you do pause, and even the ceremonies that you speak of, I feel like it's a pause. It's just a pause within the everyday and then coming together and just allowing this spontaneous inner knowing and inner connection with divinity, with creator, with source, to come back online and align us in a much more powerful way. And this is why I feel like even, 'cause I was thinking, well, how do we do that within even like our sacred rhythm circles? And I was thinking, well, the kids typically gather, they come one by one, the families come and drop them off, and there's a bit of, you know, coming together and, you know, jumping around in the playground and running around for a little bit. And that would be perhaps maybe a really great opportunity at that point to have the ceremony, whether we're making fire and then, like you said, including them with a bit of smudging. They do love all of that. Like I know I see it with our own kids. Like as soon as you start implementing the elements within nature, like they love making fire, they love watching fire. It's so enchanting and mesmerizing for all of us, actually. But it's something that also the parents have to be involved in, like the teachers have to be wholeheartedly invested in and see the magic of, so that then they role model and support children in that way of interacting and being with nature as well.
Yeah, you see the children, once you give them, you show them how to go, make one step, and they're going to teach the adults after a while. This is the way it's going to go, because when they connect that way with spirit through nature, I mean, they will flourish. It doesn't have to, you don't have to have too much structure in it, right? You let it flow. You have a little, maybe some guidelines, that's it. Maybe you ask them, you take a walk with them in nature and go look for feathers, right? they can find feathers. Then when you smudge, you use that, you know. So they'll have some tools, some spiritual tools to work with, you know. Whether it's the sage, you can go pick cedar and then dry it and smudge them with, and have them, you know. And there's ways that we work with the feathers, you know, especially eagle feathers. You may find some where you live there because you're in nature, right? So you would teach them how to, you know, to purify the aura with the feathers and the smoke from your medicine. So, yeah, you cut every direction and under the feet and over the head. So that's just disconnecting you from any energy in life that doesn't belong to you, right? Whether it's people thinking negative or talking negative to you, or you getting in arguments. And children will go through this because, you know, they're schooling, and it's all part of the learning, right? Going through the so-called positive and negative aspects of life. But it's for us to learn all these things from our spirit. Our own spirit puts us through these teachings. So, you know, there's just different things you can implement as you go along. Simple cultural teachings. And then what you get insight into, ask spirit to give you insight. You see? It doesn't have to be one way. There's so many different ways on the spiritual path. Everybody has their own way. If you go see a medicine woman or a medicine man, not one of them in our native culture is functioning the same way for healing. If you go see a healer that's not native, it's the same way. They all have their unique connection to source, right? And whatever it works for everyone. So the children will find their own connection, what works for them. See, the little girls, they're like that. And my nieces and my friends' daughters, they're like that. They'll go out and they'll look for rocks. They collect them, and they love crystals. And, you know, they'll collect herbs and plants. This is the way, because that's their innate wisdom as a female, connecting with the earth, you know. So that is it's nice to see. It's nice to hear that what yous are doing, and yous got guided down this path now, you see, and see where that guides yous and leads yous. But it's just an adventure as we go along in life, right? It's constant adventure. So what you'll see. Yeah, go ahead.
What have you found kind of where you are? Have you found in general people are not inclined to be so connected to nature now? Like in general, I feel like we've stretched out a lot away from nature. And at least what I feel like is coming on, I feel like sort of two paths. I feel people that are very disconnected from nature and even in many ways, even kind of repulsed by nature almost, yeah. Like they don't want anything to do with it. And then a big movement towards people wanting to reconnect back to it and start that process again, because yeah. They, you know, they've almost gone as far as they can with the other side, and it's just
yeah. felt cold and empty.
Cold and yeah. And lacking yeah. something of more yeah. meaning, you know. It's like when people connect yeah. back there, what have you found sort of in general, and even with the younger kids, even from your perspective, from the
even in the Mohawk community?
Yeah, in the Mohawk community.
Well, what you're talking about there is prophecy, and many people are speaking of these words throughout the world, and you know, you hear about it all over, right? There's that split in humanity. You got people who are going on a spiritual path all out, or they're the ones who are totally opposite, right? And they're going the other direction. Whether it be, you know, children or adults, this is the way it's going to happen. And not everybody is going to go the way of spirit and work with Mother Earth. It's not intended to be that way. They are teachers to us at the same time, right? They're teaching us how to be and how not to be at the same time, and vice versa. So it's all a process of learning and growing and evolving together. But, you know, without, you know, judgment, we try our best not to be in judgment over what people do and they don't do. But in our native community here, just from here, and, you know, the Mohawk Nation, it's like that. you have spiritual people, you have traditional people, then you have non-traditional people who know nothing about being Native. You know, when I tell my friends this who are not from the reserve, they're like shocked. I say, yeah, there's Natives who don't know anything who they are at all. And you have traditional people, it's night and day different, right? It's what your choice is in life now, because life has evolved to this point where, you know, the materialistic way of life and AI is, you know, it's everybody's jumped into that. It's not a bad thing. It depends on how you use it. It's like anything else. It's a tool. But there's definitely that split. And where I live, you have traditional people. You have, what I mean by traditional is just we're living our ways that Great Spirit has given us, right? But of course we're outnumbered by the non-traditional people, because they, life is too fun, right? there's a big party going on, so they get lost in that. But a lot of them are like, they come to me and they say, I can't live like this no more, you know. They're in their 20s, 30s, 40s. Like the woman the other night who came, she was like 44, and she's like, you know, they're lost and they're going through relationship after relationship. Nothing's working out because they're disconnected on a spiritual level. You know, a lot of them are working in cigarette factories here. So, you see? So where does that get you? They're making a lot of money, but, you know, you're adding to, you know, ill health. So, and they realize and understand this, but they wake up, a lot of them are waking up, but then there's still some who are sleepwalking, right? The zombies. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you want to sleepwalk your life? Go ahead, have fun, right? You'll do it next lifetime. That's all. Do it. It's not something that we need to stress to people, right? Like children, you just give them their teachings. In life, you teach them how to live life and be good to one another, respect each other. And then you got to learn non-attachment with the kids. When your girls get older, you have to let them go. They have to live their life. So the parents have to learn non-attachment to their children. You see, I tell a lot of the women that. They say, I can't do that. I'm attached to my children. He says, I can't just not love them. I says, you're loving them unconditionally by not being attached. You have to let them go. You give them their foundation in life, and then you let them fly, right?
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
Radio. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
mother bird, she'll kick her baby out of the nest and it's got to fly. It's got to go on its own. But they'll always come back, you see. It's what you teach them when they're young. And you give them the foundation of life. And don't be afraid to communicate to children about life. Like I said, the cycle of life is so important. And so they don't have no fear. Because they're learning all this fear right now through their phones, through the computers. It's everything is like that, eh? And it's enhanced. So creation, nature, what you are doing is getting them free, to be free from that left brain, right? The mind that'll keep them stuck in that. So yeah, you need that. I mean, when I grew up here on the reserve, it's totally different now. So we had so much nature going right to the water. I live about a third of a mile from the river, the St. Lawrence River. And then there's another river they made where all the ships pass through to go through from all over the world. They come through, they go through the Great Lakes. So we had so much nature. So we used to play in all the trees, and we used to go to the water and fish. And, you know, I remember as a kid, we'd even drink the water back in the 60s, 70s. But, you know, what? I don't think it was perfectly safe, but we didn't get sick. But I wouldn't do it now, right? So it's there's still nature that you can tap into, because that is liberating to the spirit and the mind, right? So there has to be a merge with that. It's a great healer. Mother Earth's a beautiful healer. And, you know, we do sweat lodges, of course. We used to do them in the past year. But there's so many things you can do to connect. The fire is so important, you see? It's healing to make a fire and sit around it and talk. We teach children through stories, our ancestral stories. They just light right up when they hear the old stories, you know? But and a lot of times they hear things like maybe the parents will be speaking of stuff and they'll be up listening, you know? Because I know when I grew up, I would listen to the, you know, my mother, whoever her friends were at the time, my uncles, and they would be telling a lot of the scary stories. And we want to listen to that as kids, you know? Because there was a lot of stuff as kids, because it intrigues you. And, you know, there's a lot of legends on the reserve. And, you know, whatever native reserve you go to, you're going to have a lot of crazy stories going on. You know, it's a different world when you live on a reserve and off the reserve. Because I've lived off the reserve in Arizona for quite a while, you know. And when I was young, I was an iron worker. So I used to travel. I used to go work in the States, you know. And when you come back home, it's a totally different world. Even though it's not far just to go, it's because our consciousness is more inclined to, even the people who are off track on my reserve, all understand at the same time the way they should be living. They know it, you see? But a lot of people get lazy, right? So they go off track. So what you teach the children, your daughters will teach their children what you teach them. And that is the most important thing, you see? So when you connect them with nature, they're like, oh, it's freedom. Yeah. I felt it when I was a kid, of course. Growing up, it's when you're in nature, you remember that when you're young. And you have that. It's these memories, you know. When I was in Arizona, I was in the desert. We're doing ceremony in the desert when I was 16. I remember that. Yeah. So, but way before that, even children, when I was 4, 5, 6 years old in nature, playing on the reserve and by the water and swimming. And so how far are you from the water?
Not far. Oftentimes, the we'll either as a family go down to the water weekly, or the children will also typically go on Wednesdays with their teacher.
They can walk down to the ocean.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, you see, that is what. So, do you take all the children there sometimes?
Oh yeah, regularly. We also found too, like if some days you wake up and there's just stuff is stirring and you can see
It's
even
the
with the kids,
heaviness.
there's like a heaviness or there's like just a lot of
Agitation.
agitation sometimes even in
Yeah.
your nervous system. And it's like, okay, get in the car and we head down and we go to the, they lay on the rocks, they play in the water. And you couldn't find something more magical, I think, than just immersing them there. And it's
For
like
all of
everything,
us,
everybody,
for
it's
all of
just, you
us.
just see everybody's nervous system just settles right down. And if you
Exactly.
can't get to the water, then it'll be, okay, let's go walk through the forest.
Yeah.
It's like, it's such a wonder. I mean, from my perspective too, and I remember reading a book called Your Brain on Nature, and it was just basically showing all of the mass amount of changes that take place from neurochemistry and hormones from just being immersed in nature. You couldn't create anything as perfect that does the job as much as just being in nature does.
Yeah, so we have the St. Lawrence River, so the rapids are about a mile down. They're pretty rough rapids. And my great grandfather, so this was in the late 1800s, he used to shoot those rapids. Sundadiago, his name. That's what he refers to. He shoots the rapids. He runs through the rapids, and he used to take everybody. His children, he used to go through the rapids. He knew what to do and how to do it, navigate it. That was my mother's grandfather. So we always go there. We walk. It's about a mile and a half from here. So Christine and I will go, and you sit by the water, and the energy from, because the current is fast. It's healing you as you're sitting there, right? Like if you got waterfalls or a fast moving stream, even if it's slow moving, there's ions in the water, negative ions will help you. Yeah. And if you could jump in it, even better. I remember being in Sedona many years ago. Well, we've been there so many times, but we were in because there's a vortex in the water in Sedona. There's many. You've been to Sedona?
Several times. And
Yeah.
it's a pretty wild place with all
Yeah.
the vortexes everywhere.
Yeah, we were in the water, and there was one. My friend was holding me because the water was flowing fast. And I had my ears in the water, and I can hear the vortex spinning. We were right in it. And then a water moccasin swam by us. Yeah. So he was just looking at us, but he kept going, you know? See, there's a lot of wonderful experiences you have in nature, right? You may see animals, bears, where you live, but they won't bother you. It's just, you just let them be, but communicate with the spirit before, because a lot of people have problems with animals because they're in fear, right? Yeah. So, yeah, it's, I think, for me, connecting with nature, like I'll just go sit in my backyard. There's trees around. Of course, like I said, when I was younger, it was much more because now there's so many houses that are being built, right? So you have your little patches of nature here and there. So you got to really honor that. I mean, where you live, I think you still have much of that, right, going on?
You can definitely access it, but it constantly changes. Back be right behind where we were was really large area of forest, but they've just gone in and plowed through a bunch of it because they're wanting to build more stuff up there. But where we are on the island, there's still a lot. I mean, this is some of the only place left for old growth forest is actually on Vancouver Island. And they're still taking it down. It's still not completely protected, so.
Is there a lot of animals around?
Yeah,
Oh yeah,
we
we'll
get visits by bears.
deers,
There's also cougar sightings in our area.
cougars,
Lots of hawks and
Eagles.
eagles.
Our girls, you were
Eagle.
talking about eagles. Our littlest one actually found an eagle feather at the
Yeah.
beach last week. So
Beautiful.
we're gonna, like you said,
Yeah.
we're gonna teach her how to use that for ceremony. I like that idea.
Yeah,
Oh.
there's certain things you could do with the eagle feather, but I'll talk to you about that.
Well, it's an interesting one too, because you were talking about ceremony, and this has been something that's been going through our minds over the last while, is just re-looking at all of the things that we've done over the years, even for like different traditions and holidays and celebrations and things, and just re-looking at all of it and kind of deciding what parts do we really want to carry on and what stuff do we really want to maybe do differently that's more in alignment with us, that's more in alignment really with nature. And so it makes us look at all of them. So, you know, for example, Halloween's coming up.
Yeah.
And just where it's kind of gone and what it's about, it makes me feel like I want very little to do with what the commercialized version of Halloween is. And we kind of look at it. And I mean, Teo was thinking of a really great, literally like a ceremony that we can do that has to do with lanterns and lighting the way. How do we make it something that's ours, that's more symbolic and has more meaning attached to it? That's kind of what we've been looking at.
So just as an example, my son, long time ago, I mean, he's 21 now, but when he started school, he was going to Waldorf, and one of the ceremonies that they did that has stood out in my mind for since then was a lantern ceremony. And just as the days get shorter and the nights get longer, the teachers were busy preparing lanterns. Like they would make paper mache and paste it around glass mason jars and teach children how to light a flame and the candle. They would do candle making as well. And we would support that at home too. And so the leading up to this event was also the teachers and the parents collecting poems and stories that they wanted to share during the gathering or the togetherness during this lantern ceremony. But the day of, it would be the parents showing up at nighttime in the evening with the children. The teachers and the parents had in advance prepared these poems and stories about light and darkness. Mm-hmm. And the parents would be holding hands with their children, and we had created this labyrinth of a walk that was lit by flames or candles or other lanterns that had lined up our path. And as we would walk through this labyrinth hand in hand with our children, we would be singing songs about nature, various songs about nature. And then right as we would gather in at the center was where we would all then sit together as a family and as a community, and we would share stories about light. Okay. And how light is a way to, it is light essentially that protects us and holds us within the darkness. And so that was, I thought that was beautiful. So that's something that we're taking, and we're going to be incorporating that towards the beginning of November.
Yeah, you'll get creative with things as you go along. You could start with, you know, like what I said, what light is, you know, the fire. The sun, right? And, you know, the darkness is a part of creation, because you look at the trees, right? We have the great white pine. That's the symbol of the tree of life, tree of peace. So the roots go into Mother Earth and the darkness. So that teaches us to, we got to heal our darkness, transform it, right? Back into light. So you can do that around the fire with the children, you know? They can collect something from nature they find on the ground, pine cone. And communicate to it and put it in the fire and release if they're feeling sad or angry or hurt inside, you know? So that'll help them to in healing. And you could take them through a little, meditation just to calm them, right? Maybe you're already doing that, right? So, you know, there's so much, there's unlimited with creation, what you can do, right? There's no limits. Like I said, we're going into a different paradigm. So I always tell this to people, especially my people, when they come, I say, look, sometimes they can't grasp what I tell them. I says, we are going into to say it's a law, it's the translation to what we have, Gayanrekoa, they call it the great law of peace, but it's not law. It's called, it translates to the great good. So there's like about 119 wampums within this guidelines, how to live life in harmony with nature and one another and love each other and peace and harmony. There's a wampum for everything, right? Birth, death, ceremony. And I told him, I says, you know, we need to transcend our culture even. And they look at me. It's one day. Mother Earth shifts one day in our lifetime, or in your kids' or your grandkids' lifetime. It's not just natives saying this. There's many people all over the world. You study the Bible, they talk about the Earth going into a higher realm, right? Every culture has this, but people have disconnected from it. So I says, when Mother Earth does do this, we don't know the exact time. I says, you think everything we have here in this dimension, this 3D so-called, that we're going to be taking that with us into a new world? No way. This is teachings for here, to live in as much as harmoniously you can with each other and nature. But we don't need it once you ascend and evolve to a higher level. You have to let it go. So people can't comprehend that. You know, Christians won't need their religion, you see? Because you evolve beyond it. So we have to evolve beyond culture even, and let go of, you know, the things we do know, because we don't need that. We're not going to need it no longer. I've been letting go of a lot of stuff in the last 3-4 decades. Like I always say, Great Spirit gave everybody gifts upon Mother Earth, all nationalities. So within the cultures of the Chinese, the Buddhists, the Mayans, the Mohawks, the Christians, the Druids, they'll have one or two aspects you can take out of that culture and put it in a basket together. All humanity, we can bridge the gaps with religions and culture and make a super religion, right? And put all the best of everything, the meditations, the ceremonies together. And this is where we need to be. And we need to be at this level of consciousness. It's not one way. It wasn't intended to be one way, never. And this is how open we have to be in our hearts and minds. And if we're open like that, then we're going to flourish. And we're going to bring the earth faster into a higher level of awareness and consciousness. Whether it's going to change physically, like it tells us the prophecies, we don't know exactly, but it looks like we're really there close right now. It doesn't look like we're going to have to wait for your grandchildren. It looks like it's happening right now, right?
This comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.